Anticipation. I was 13 years old. How many remember that? Some of you old timers, that ad. Yes, yeah. We, with kids, 8 kids in the house, Italians and Irish. Happy St. Patrick's Day to those of you Irish. But we would run around the house singing Anticipation, had no idea what it was. But it was catchy. It was catchy. Amen. How many with me? Just a couple of things before we get in pray, and we talk a little bit about that. We do have a church cleanup on Saturday the 23rd, 10 to 12, barring any blizzards. I don't know what happened to the weather, what's going on, but it's just to pick up some trash around and tidy things up for our Easter resurrection weekend. I know there's a lot going on in the community and all of that, but if you have a few hours from 10 to 12, we could really use your help getting things tidied up here around the church for our Good Friday and our egg hunt Saturday and then Resurrection Sunday service. So, amen. Yes. Well, let's take a moment and pray and ask for God's blessing over the word shared here this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And Lord, once again, I recognize that in and of myself, I have nothing good to say, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, I trust on and I rest upon the Holy Spirit here today to speak through me, to give to your people what they need. Only you can do that, God, because you're sovereign, you rule, and you reign, and you can speak to each individual here today. And we ask that your will be accomplished in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. I want to talk to you a little bit, and I was going to title this series Waiting, but I don't think that would get a lot of hits on YouTube, Waiting. But anticipation, it's something you can lean into. So I don't know if we have the PowerPoint ready. You can pull that up. But our first slide, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the waiting on the Lord in patience, the importance of that for his timing. How many have heard that phrase, God's timing? Don't like it, but I've heard it many, many times. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And I do have a, Lord willing, a part two to this next week. But I actually subtitled it that God is working in your life while you're waiting. Isn't that a good, right there alone, that's just comforting to me. We'll talk about the how-to of that and what is the Lord doing. But I have just a definition, because when we were kids, we had no idea what this meant. But this is what anticipation means. The act of looking forward. Pleasurable expectation. You know, in America, most people don't have a pleasurable expectation of the future. They have dread on their soul, and there's fear on their soul, and there's concern, and there's worry, and you know, wars and rumors of wars, but anticipation, it really doesn't matter what's going on around you. It's inside you. If you have anticipation, you have a pleasurable expectation. It actually means a feeling of excitement about something that is going to happen in the near future. Does anyone have any anticipation on them? There's a few of you. The rest of you are wondering, where is this going? My text, and I'll read a number of verses, but I just want to use this as kind of a foundation text. Very familiar passage, Isaiah 40, 31. And Isaiah speaks and he says, those who wait, somebody shall wait for the Lord. And actually, the Amplified brings it out this way. Who expect, who look for, who hope in him will gain new strength. So there's something in the waiting that does create a strength in your life to move forward. Okay? So think about that. And there's, the Bible talks about a renewing of their power. And then it has these illustrations about they will lift their wings. And, you know, we don't have wings. And I don't know, when we die, maybe we will have wings. I don't know. I'd rather not just be like, you know, Iron Man to be able to come on somebody. Amen. But it says they will rise toward the sun and they will run and not become weary. You know, for a season, I was crazy enough in midlife crisis that I did triathlons. I did over 25 triathlons in 5 years. And today have custom orthotics because of that. But anyhow, there is many times after the swim, come on somebody, some of you triathletes, and then there's a cycle, then there's the running. And I was always in the Clydesdale class. How many know what the Clydesdales are? It's the 200 plus weight. And but when it came to the running, I was just like, my goodness. There was times just these little itty bitty people would be passing me, and I'm thinking, I'm giving my all, but I was weary. Well, the scripture is telling us as we wait on the Lord, there's a strength that when you run, you won't be weary. I want that. Amen. I want that for my life. I want that for your life. Amen. Are you still with me this morning? It says they will walk and not grow tired. I like that. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. 1 Peter 5:6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Set aside self-righteous pride so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service at the appropriate time. And there again, we have the timing of the Lord. Now, let me just set the stage right away in the series. I do not like waiting. I struggle with patience. And when God says in 2 Peter 3:8 that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day to him, I think like maybe I only have like a few decades left in my life. I mean, I'm 60. Maybe I live to 85 or 92. I don't know. And, you know, it's like if, and I broke that down. Let's see, 24-hour period. Come on, you know, half the whatever percentage of time you're sleeping. But if you break down 1,000 years in a day, that's actually 41.6 years for every hour. So to God, an hour to him is 41 point. I want you to go back 41 years of your life right now. Some of you weren't even born. And it's like, what? I mean, it's like I got 2 days, you know, or I have a half a day left. And anyhow, so why do we get impatient at times? And I've always wondered this because growing up, I'd seen my dad many times be impatient and been around people very impatient, and myself included, acting irrational. Just keep looking forward. Men, acting irrational, and some ladies keep looking forward in checkout lines at stores. How about this one? If you've ever traveled much and you're on a plane a long time, the customs line. We've been on planes that were 12, 14 hours on a plane. When the doors open, the first thing you want to do is get out and get through customs, and then there's 700 people there checking through, and people are impatient. Impatient. And you know, I've even seen it with people when it comes time for eating, you know, and it's like, you could tell it's like, no, I'll wait, but they're starving and they want to, anyhow. There was a study done in March 2006, the Associated Press surveyed over 1,000 Americans, and this study on impatient and their attitudes and behaviors regarding impatience. And I'll just read some of the findings. While waiting in line at an office or store, it takes an average of 17 minutes for most people to lose their patience. On the phone, it takes about 9 minutes for most people to lose their patience. Women lost their patience after waiting in line for about 18 minutes. For men, it was an average of 15 minutes. Did you get that, ma'am? People, actually, I thought this was interesting, with lower income and less education are more patient than those with the college education and a high income. Talk about entitlement there. But here's what I found. Here's what I found to help with this impatience, how it's triggered. Impatience is triggered when we have a goal and we realize it's going to cost us more than we thought to reach it. And we get impatient. I have a number of illustrations here to help define that. So if you sit in a room with a blank mind, some of you may have that right now. I want you to wake up. A blank mind. You will not be impatient. That's good that you're not impatient, but tune your mind in this moment. If you're asleep, wake up. And you're just there. Now, if you decide that you want to go out and do something fun, now you have a goal. You want to do something. So you're not impatient, but you might be setting yourself up for it. And so now that you have a goal. And so for me, like when there was house projects, things that had to get done, come on somebody, at a certain time, or it's, let's say you're going to go to dinner somewhere. There's times that, this is embarrassing, but I'm just going to share it. I would drive around to every restaurant in Alec, and I'm like, there's too many people. The line's too. I'm going home and eat peanut butter jelly sandwich. I've done that. It's like, this is like ants on a pile of sugar. Why is everyone out? And so when my wife and I, we plan things when nobody is there. If we go to a movie theater, there's only us in the theater. I mean, just don't like waiting. Just don't, you know, when it comes, you know, house projects, I've been, you know, here's the thing. In construction, and we've built 5 houses in our lives, you know, literally. The first house, we did pretty much everything from the footings, the foundation, laid the block, built the house, stick everything all the way up. I did all the wiring. I did all the plumbing. Come on, somebody. All the HVAC, everything. I cannot tape sheetrock. So that is just beyond me. So I hire that. But painting, everything, finishing one house, it took me a year to finish all the trim. Just 1 year. Finish all the trim, working on it every day. And yes, I was a little slow. But my point is this. There are certain things in construction that have to get done before you can install something. There really is. It's like, I want to set the toilet, but you got to pour the concrete. Well, you got to prep the floor, or you got to have the walls up. You got to have your set distances. It's just the way it is. And so you cannot, it's very stressful, because there are things that subcontractors come in, or if you're doing it yourself, something else has to happen first before you can do it. And that can be very stressful, because there's a goal in mind. How many with me? Say amen. So suppose you call a friend, and you see if they're available to do something, and that they're not available. So now you might start growing a little bit impatient. And the longer it takes to find someone to go out with, then perhaps maybe you become more impatient. Or if you had kids, you think about kids when it comes to their birthday or Christmas, and they know the time's coming, or you tell them, oh, Christmas is coming soon. At first, they might not get impatient, but when they begin to realize that they can't stop thinking about it, when is Christmas coming, or when is my birthday today? Come on, I've had kids that, you know, and they get real. And then what happens is waiting for Christmas is costing more than they thought it would in terms of their ability to pay attention in the moment than other things in the meantime. And so kids get very impatient. Some of you that like to write books or articles, and you think, well, I'm going to write a book. So you think, okay, I'm going to start writing, and it's going to take me 6 months, and maybe it takes me 2-3 hours a day or 3 times a week. And so you're on schedule. Watch this. And then you get an idea for an even better book. That happens to me all the time when I prepare a message. And it's like I'm halfway through, and I'm like, I got it ready. I'm like, oh, this point. And I have actually scrapped Sunday morning messages and put them for a later date and just worked feverishly to prepare a message in the last minute because this was on my heart. So I understand that. I know that. And what happens is we grow impatient. Here's another one, and this speaks, I think, to a lot of us. You're driving home, and the family or extended family is there, and they're waiting on you for dinner, right? You think, okay, you know, you're in the city somewhere. It's just going to take 20 minutes, and then there's 2 cars ahead of you. They're going 10 miles per hour below the speed limit, and then they're driving side by side so you can't pass them on the 2 lanes. Come on. And you realize you're going to be late. And it's going to take way more time than you thought to get home, and you are growing impatient. I have I wrote down, what do you do in that moment? You know, I've been around some people, embarrassingly, in driving in cars that they manifest. Just keep looking forward. You may be one of them. Do you know what I mean? It's like you go horns in a tail because of people cutting you off. And I've been in vehicles just looking at this one guy, like, he's screaming. I'm meddling this morning. Screaming at whoever is out there that doesn't know anything of what you're saying in the car, in that moment, and you are screaming at them. Who do they think they are? How can they? You know why? And I'm thinking, nobody even, I'm the one hearing you. It's doing nothing. Preach, Pastor Mike. I believe I will. Once again, patience is triggered. When you have a goal and you realize it's going to cost us more, it's going to cost you more than you thought to reach it. And you know what I just think? So too in our walk of faith in life, we grow impatient with God. We grow impatient with God because it's like God's time is not on our time clock. God is late, or he's ignoring me, or he has forgotten me somehow. And so here's what happens. We begin to reason in that, you know what? My life is passing me by. I mean, I should have been married by now. I should have bought a home by now. Come on, am I speaking to anybody? I should have had kids by now. I should have had a family by now. And my biological clock is ticking. Anyhow, you know, we grow impatient. We're impatient. And so we don't like waiting, whether it's the job and it's the income or whatever that is. And so once again, I want to give you an encouragement as I continue to develop this series. But here is the thing I want to encourage you. This is for the believer. This is for the Christian. There is actually something happening. Well, it's seemingly nothing is happening in your life. I want you to just think about that. In other words, God is working in your life behind the scenes while you are waiting on him. How many know that his timing is always perfect? The scripture talks about that. But it's hard for us to grasp the waiting period. Why? Because our knowledge of time is limited. It's very limited. I think of the story in John chapter 11, in verse 38. It talks about how Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Many of you know the story. And Lazarus, he was from Bethany. He was the brother of Mary and Martha. And the Bible says that Jesus raised him from the dead, and it was 4 days that he was in the tomb. 4 days. But here's the interesting thing that I wanted you to get in this moment here, verse 6. If you go back a few verses, it says this. They said that Lazarus is sick. Please come pray for him. What does Jesus do? It says, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. He's sick. He's dying. Why don't you come? This doesn't make sense. I need you now. And he stays 2 more days, just chilling, drinking some tea or coffee. I need you now. I need you now, Lord. Why? Why did the Lord do that? Well, in many ways, our limited knowledge of God's timing, it makes it difficult for us to wait on God's promise. How many of you know that the raising of the dead was a greater miracle than just healing someone of a little mild cold? And it said that many hundreds were there that saw this miracle, and it spread through all out the land. How many of you know that the timing was right in that moment if you can raise someone from the dead, which Jesus can, amen? And so he just knew. And so no one likes to wait. It's hard, it's difficult, it's frustrating. It can test our faith. It does test our faith. It is especially difficult when there is at times seemingly no guarantee that what we are waiting for is ever going to come to pass. We get frustrated. I mean, dreams, desires we long for, prayers that we've been praying. Come on. Some good news that we're waiting to hear that can all tempt us to be impatient. It can tempt us to become discouraged or maybe anxious in the situation, and we want to move and try to do something on our own, to even wonder if God really cares. You know, we've all heard the statement that all the promises in the Bible are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what the scripture says. It's very true. But here's the thing. They do not work according to our January to December or weekly calendar. They work according to God's calendar. Once again, I don't like waiting. I struggle with it. 2 Peter 3:8 says once again, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And so that makes it like almost impossible for us to come to any conclusion in that moment. And because why? God is outside of time. He's outside of time. We live in this structure, in this earth, in this confines of time. Let me just give it an illustration about Adam and Eve. It's a verse in Genesis 3:6. And Satan is tempting Eve, the woman. And it says this, the woman Eve was convinced. Somebody shall convinced. This is an important point here. She was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom that the serpent told her, watch this, that it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And there's a whole message about why was the husband there not acting spiritually, taking charge. Come on, somebody. Chopping the head of the snake, saying the Lord said no, but that's a whole men's message there. but you know, she hands it to him, and they eat it, and it's like, come on. I mean, did not the Lord say? And so I thought about that. It's like, what actually tempted Eve to take a bite from that fruit? There was numerous trees in the garden, but just one tree that was there that they would not touch and eat it. And I think she always saw the fruit on the forbidden tree. And I think it was always a beautiful tree and was desirable to her eyes. And you know, it may or may not at that moment been tempting to eat it, but we don't know how long it was while they were in the garden. Some think it was immediately, and some we just have no idea how long it was there that they lived their life and you know, they were growing in age but I think it's possible. What was the thing that actually tempted her to eat the fruit? And if you think about this, it was only when Satan, watch this, was able to, if I could say it this way, persuade her to believe that, watch this, God did not have her best interest in mind. Think about that. That's when Adam and Eve decided to go ahead without God and go their way and eat this fruit. In other words, let me say it like this, that somehow, watch this, God was withholding something good from them. I'm keeping my cards close that I'm holding back some fun. I'm holding back some excitement. I'm really trying to make your life miserable, but there's some really good things. If you touch that, I'm withholding something from you. Friends, that is the lie of the centuries. And Satan uses that constantly, day in and day out, to destroy families, to destroy relationships, come on, to blow up churches. It's a lie. It's a lie of the enemy that God doesn't have your best interest at mind. How many know when God tells us to wait, to trust him completely, that's really when we need to trust that God truly has our best interest in mind. You know what I think about the building of this church? And I'm not going to ever tire. When I'm in my 90s, if I'm still alive, I'm going to still talk about this miracle. I'm going to. So if this bores you, just, you know, stay awake. Just keep your eyes forward. But this was a miracle to build this church. It really was. I tried. We started the church in the fall of 1999, officially launched in 2000. We were in our home. We met for a period of time. Then in 2002, we went to the Alexandria Technical College, and we met in their auditorium, and we began to grow. And we were a church on the wheels. Some of you remember that, setting up, tear down. We did that for 6 years. And then we were in Discovery Middle School, and then finally in 2006, around October, we landed that lease space, the last place we were in, and we had a 5-year lease, and I thought, there's no way, 5 years, that's a lifetime. I'm going to, you know, in 3 years, we're going to be in our building. 16 years later, we were still there. How many talk about waiting? And there was, then on top of that, that some of you trustees are here, we had an announcement on the stage, and it was November, I believe it was the 24th, in 2019, and we made an announcement to the church that we cannot build. It's cost prohibitive. And I think at that time, rates were 6.5%, almost 7%, 6.5, 6.8. And it was just like, we can't do it. We had some money saved. It was like all the air out of the anticipation was blown right out of me. And I remember being up on the stage, and we made the announcement, and there was this heaviness that was on everybody. I think God wanted us to get, at least for me, let me just put it on me. He wanted me to get to the point to say, there's nothing in your strength and power to make this happen, son. I want all the glory. And I was like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's what I want. That's what I truly want. But in that moment, it was like a crushing. Come on, somebody. It was heavy. And my wife, and when we went home, we went, we're done. We're just, this is it. It's over. I mean, It's, you know, I know that sounds pretty heavy, but that's how I thought. Some of you think, that's no big deal. It was fine where we're at. No, God gave us the land. It was a miracle. And I just, and anyhow, I just remember going home. I was just really, really discouraged. And then that winter happened, and then that spring. And here's the thing that really, really upset me. In that moment, I was hoping that while I was in my prayer closet, while I was, you know, reading my Bible, whatever, a bright light would shine. Come on, somebody. And I'm like, who is it, Lord? You know, what would you have me do? And son, it's time to build the church. And I would begin to weep and I would cry, yes, Lord. None of that happened. Nothing. I'm so vexed. All it was is this seed that said, you can do it now. That was it. 21 years of waiting. The seed of the Spirit of God said, move forward. See, when God says go, you can go. And no matter who tries to stop that, hold you back, in that moment when God says, yes, go, you can move forward. And 6 months later, we started to build this building, and we did it during COVID. People drive by and goes, you're crazy, man. Why are you building that COVID? I mean, every churches are locked down. And here's the thing. In all the last 20-something years, interest rates have never been at that time in that short window for 2.8%. Come on, somebody. I shiver at churches being built today at 7%+. God bless them. But I'm thinking, we built at a time I would have never guessed was the right time. And God knew that. How many knew he knew that? I did not know that. I wanted to all these years, 2005, 2012, 2015, 2019. No, no, no. And now's the time. When I look back, I go, God did this. All praise to him. He did this. Can we give God praise? Amen? Amen. See, waiting on God's timing, it's worth it. Watch this now. I'm almost done. Just like Adam and Eve, if you do not believe God genuinely cares for you, I'm going to get into something here. You're going to go ahead and find ways to accomplish your desires in your own strength. What happens is we move out, watch this, we move out of his plan for our life. Are you with me this morning? And what happens is, so many Christians step out in the flesh. Now, I'm going to meddle here a moment. Just keep looking forward and say, praise the Lord. It's so good to be in church this morning. And it creates a rift in our relationship with the Lord. But here's the thing. It brings us tremendous pain. It brings us troubles because of our impatience. Am I speaking to anybody this morning? And I think one way, there's many ways the enemy does this, but one way is marriage, finding a spouse, trusting the Lord in that. Here's the thing. If you're in a relationship and it's right and God is saying, blessing that, and you're young, get married. I do not advocate 15 years of dating. You're going to be in sin. Come on, let's just make it, you know, you're not going to make it. Get married. Amen? So if you're young and it's right, just get married. Don't drag that thing out. So, yes, I said it. But what happens is people that it's been going on and dragging on and they don't, you know, they're impatient. They're very impatient in that. When's it going to happen? And finally, maybe somebody comes by and your standard was this and they're 10 steps down from the, come on, somebody. And it's like, okay, he just rolled out of the bar. I know he's an alcoholic, but I can change it. Come on. You got to trust the Lord and wait. And wait. I feel a lot of resistance on that. You got to trust the Lord and wait. Amen. Okay. I know what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm not the new kid on the block anymore as pastor in this community. It's been 30 plus years. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of marriages and situations and premarital counseling and marriage counseling, and gotta wait, trust the Lord in that. And it's different. And I have tremendous compassion, I really do, on this generation of young kids. Why? You don't go to the roller skating ring to find somebody. Amen. You're not, you know, doing this and like, oh, I like her. He's a good roller skater. And then you start, there's none of that now. It's the app. It's who is this person? You know, and are they even true to who they are? Or then you see them and you go, that's not the picture that was, you know. I have tremendous compassion. I do. I really do. I couldn't make it in this. Let me just say this. I'm digressing, but patience doesn't come naturally, but is a gift. Somebody shout gift from God bestowed on us as the fruit of his spirit. Remember Galatians 5? Talks about patience is a fruit that each one of us has received, and we can develop that and walking that. How many with me say amen? So you have a choice in that. So why is it essential that we cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he develops patience in us? This is a necessary quality for all of us, and it can save us from the inevitable regrets that come with when we refuse to wait for his direction, that I want it, and I want it now. You know, some people, they get into debt over their eyeballs because we have to have it now. We got to keep up with the Joneses. Come on, somebody. Just keep looking forward. Amen. We got to have it now, and debt is horrible. Debt is horrible. Is manageable debt, but the debt that just, anyhow, I'm meddling once again. Romans 6:16. Do you not realize that you become, watch this, the slave of whoever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose, say this with me, say you can choose. Oh, I don't know, I don't have the strength and the power. The enemy, I just feel I'm so weak in it. You can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. You can choose. I can choose. So many times we don't choose. Here's the thing. When you yield to something, you will soon realize the tremendous control it has over you, good or evil. Now watch this. Whether it's serving God, following him wholeheartedly, being a worshiper, getting involved in his kingdom purposes in local church, or it's an addiction, a lust, vices, maybe it's unforgiveness. What happens is we become ensnared to it, whatever it is, our flesh and our mind, because we've yielded to it. How many know that Satan, after trial and error, knows pretty well how we function, and he knows what type of hooks that will ensnare us, right? So I'm just saying for me, just saying, I've never grown up in a home where their alcohol was devastating in the family, per se, in immediate family. There was other sin issues. But so alcohol, to me, it's not like a hook. Can I say it that way? I'm not saying it could be, but it's just not a hook, all right? But there's other vices and things the enemy can know what to do. And Satan, through trial and error, he knows the hook that he can hook you. We were away one time, and we were in Florida on a beach. And I looked, and I saw this one guy, and he had 6 or 7 huge lines in the sand. And all the lines were out straight from the shore. I think this is the strangest thing. If you cast a line out, how is it going to stay? It's just going to come back. This is my not knowing fishing, deep sea or ocean fishing. So I walked up to him and I said, can I ask you a question, sir? He's like, this is a stupid question. He goes, there's no stupid question. I'm like, okay, how do these lines stay out there? He goes, right here. And there was a weight that had a spring that went out. And the moment you cast it, it hits the sand and it's stuck and allows the bait to flow. And he uses a certain amount of bait. And he looked, he goes, see these fish? And they were a type of a slender, silver looking. They were all the same. He goes, I use this bait, and I use this hook, and I use this sinker. And the moment it hits, you start to reel in. So he goes, we got a hit. Come over here. And so Ron took a picture, and I went, and I'm reeling. And of course, It wasn't this big, but it was this big, all right? It was just keeping it real here. And but it was still like, whoa, what is this thing? And he goes, that's the weight. When you pull it, it snaps and the springs go back and you can reel it in. The point was is that Satan knows how to hook us. Am I speaking to anybody? He knows how to hook us. And he knows what weights that hold us down and ensnare us. I want you to consider the following scriptures, what they say about waiting. I'll just read them. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. So once again, why do we need to be patient? Why do we need to exercise patience in our walk of faith to wait on the Lord? Once again, there are times that we need to make decisions. Watch this. And there are times, how many know we don't know what to do? Right? We simply just don't know what to do. And so here's the thing. If God gives you a check in your spirit, how many know what I mean by that? Does that go over your head? Somebody, a check in your spirit, what does that mean? It means there's an alarm like a red light. No, no, no. So I don't have peace. I don't have peace. And there's confusion in that. It's like I can't make it. It means no. Said that with a smile, a life-giving way. No. How many know is a good word at times? If it can save you from heartache. Oh, I know I'm meddling here, but, and so God will give us a check in the spirit. Illustration, once again, we looked at numerous churches, more than one, places or buildings, let me say, before we built this building. And there was an old building off of, I think it was 3rd Avenue. We looked through it, and it had ramps in it. And I'm like, oh, man, the major reconstruction of this deal. And, oh, by the way, you know, you have to put in a new sewer line. And you got to go under the road, and that's going to be 50 grand just for that. And so I'm kind of calculating, is this worth it with the price? And so we looked through. How many remember the old Kmart building? We walked through that and we thought this would be perfect. We could hack off 12,000 square feet and then, you know, what was the rate and the monthly rate and what it would cost to put in. It was just like all of that would have been more than our monthly rate right now. But I had to wait. And the Lord said, no, I have a building here. I gave you this property and we're going to build on this property. So I had to wait. But there was checks in my spirit. How many know what I mean by that? It's just like something's not right. Heed that. Listen to that. That is the Spirit of God speaking to you, protecting you. All right? Can you receive that this morning? And so sadly, though, some are reluctant to delay the decision, and we want it. We want it now. We want it on our timetable. How many of you know that we can, we and our own, listen, the Tower of Babel was built because men said, we can do this. And what did God say? Whoa, I have to go down there because whatever they set their heart to, in their own, they're going to accomplish. So he came down and dispersed everyone with the language and gave them their nations and their borders, the Bible says. But you know, when we do it on our own timetable, but we know that God is omniscient. We talked about that a few weeks ago, and he knows everything about us and our circumstances. So watch this. If he wants us to wait, it's because he knows what's best. Are you here this morning? I'm almost done. And so God is our great protector. And let me just kind of end it with this here. When God says no, he is not rejecting us, but he is protecting us. You see that? There's a benefit from God's loving protection. And that's why we really do need to consult him about everything. Everything. Every little thing. Should we sell the house or not? You know, should we wait in this moment? You know, just in the natural, kind of in the market for a new vehicle. I love my Jeep, but it's time for it to go. It's hurting my calf, pushing the clutch. Come on, somebody. It's cool, you know, a little rusted, but it's like I'm in the market. But rates are crazy for used vehicles, so what am I going to do? I'm going to wait. It's going to come down. I just know that. It'll be a better time, but I just got to wait. I don't have to have it now. It's awfully quiet here in this church. Let me just end with this. Genesis, I've been saying that three times. This is it, I promise you. Genesis 37:11. It's the story about Joseph. I thought about this as the conclusion. This is the conclusion. And we know the story, most of you do. It's actually chapters, Genesis 37 through 47. We're talking about the reward of waiting, anticipation. And it says this, that Joseph, he had these dreams when he was younger. And the dreams were like all the brothers, you know, he's the little snot. All the brothers are bowing down. He goes, hey, all you guys are bowing down and to me. And then he tells and has another dream and he goes, oh yeah, by the way, you, dad and mom, you also bow down. The dad's like, what, enough? This kid's got crazy dreams. But it says this about Jacob, his dad. It says Joseph's brothers were envious and jealous of him. But his father, Jacob, kept the words of Joseph in mind, wondering about their meaning. And I thought about that and I broke down some of that. Actually, Jacob observed the saying. In other words, he pondered over it. He never forgot the dream, as crazy as they were, from his son. But he's like, what does this mean? What does this mean? He kept the matter in mind. He wondered what the dreams meant. He often thought of the dreams. Really, what I'm trying to say in this moment is that Jacob never forgot the dreams that Joseph related, even though they were really strange and they made no sense. Now, fast forward to when Joseph, he reveals himself to his brothers. There's a famine that's going on for 7 years. And then Jacob says, go down to Egypt, lest we die. And he sends all his sons down. We know the story. They come. They don't know that now at this point, after 14 years in prison, Joseph in a dungeon is second in command in Egypt. In one day, he's out. He interprets a dream. And now he's storing up grain for Pharaoh. In the good years. So they had 7 good fat years and they stored up grain and stored up grain. So now Joseph's brothers come down and there's this whole dialogue. We'll get into it. But in Genesis 45:26, it says this. Maybe we can bring that up here. Help me with that. Thank you. It says that Joseph, he reveals himself to his brothers. He goes, I'm Joseph. You know, and they're bowing down. The dream came true. The dream came true. I was in prison. I suffered, and you guys are suffering, and I forgive you. But God, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Now watch this. In essence, he's like, go tell my dad I'm alive. Go tell my father. And so here's the thing. I think of this scene. Now just think of the lost hope, your son's dead. They had some of the other, Benjamin now was brought down. They're going to keep him. Jacob is thinking, my life is horrible. It's the worst. I've been waiting for the promise of God. Nothing is working against me. And he actually says this, all these things are against me. I have walked around sometimes and said that. All these things are against me. And he really felt it. But when he sees this entourage and he sees the donkeys and the sheep that Pharaoh sends and the chariots that came with, and he's like, what's going on? I wonder who was the first son. You know how like when you have some good information, you want to tell it. Someone blurts out like, okay, who's it? Reuben, you be the oldest. You tell what's going on. Jude is probably, no. And they're running to the dad. And they're like, Joseph, Joseph. He's like, what's going on? What's going on? And they said to him, Joseph is still alive. Now watch this. And indeed, he is ruler over all the land of Egypt, which he was, second in command. But Jacob was stunned. Somebody shout, stunned. And his heart almost stopped beating. In other words, he almost had a heart attack. Maybe he did. Something happened. Maybe they needed to resuscitate him. But he was just like, and he said, because he what? He did not believe them. He did not believe them. In other words, the good news was just too good to be true. Stand with me if you would, please. Now watch this. How many know if someone comes and tells you something that's a lie, your heart does not stop beating? Right? There's a pink elephant that's out in the yard. Daddy, can you come? Oh, what are these kids doing? You know, who, you know, or dad, you know. There's a, you know, rainbow-colored dog that's, you know, what? Who's, you know, it's not when people tell you something that just doesn't make sense or it's, you know, there's no truth to it. your heart doesn't stop beating. But if they say something to you, whether it's an emergency situation or something that you've been holding dear that you've never forgot, and then they tell you this good news, that's when you've kind of stepped back. Like there was a time that my daughter just showed up. I didn't know she was coming, Mariah, and I was over here kind of, and there's actually a picture of it. And she walks up, and it was just in the moment. She just walked up on stage, said, "Hi, Dad." I stepped back because it's like, this can't be you, but it looks like you. Come on. How many hear what I'm saying? It's you, you know. I'm crying. It's my daughter's here. How did you get here? Huh? And that moment, the waiting produced something. Watch this. The waiting did something. It was so much good news in that moment. It was all worth it in the moment. All the pain and the sorrow was washed away because God showed up. Spirit of God is here. And James goes, I'm convinced it must be true. This is great news to me. This is a great thing. Now I can believe you. This is all I could ever ask for in this moment. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Every head bowed, please, this morning. Friends, this is the reward of patience. This is the reward of anticipation. This is the reward of waiting for God's perfect timing. Now, you're married. You go, oh, man, I didn't do everything right. Now that you're married, it's the will of the Lord. Did you hear that? It is the will of the Lord, and you're to work it out. You're to work it out. Don't let the enemy tell you, well, this wasn't God's best, and I waited, so I'm getting a divorce. No, you work it out. Amen? I just had to say that. Here's the thing. As we conclude, God has in store for each and every one of you. I believe this. I'm going to say that. I wrote this down. I said, Lord, do you want me to say this? He said, write this down. He said, I have in store for you too good to be true situations if you're willing to trust me. I have in store for you too good to be true situations if you'll trust me. With every head bowed, you're here this morning. Is it, Pastor? I'm going to pray for you all as a church here about submitting to God's timing once again. But in this holy moment, you say, Pastor, I'm not right with the Lord. God forbid if you died today, you wouldn't go to heaven. And God is pulling on you. The presence of God is here. And you feel, I need to act. I need to do something. You need to surrender your life to Christ with every head bowed this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. You pray for me. I want to receive Christ in my life. You have the authority and the power to do that, to invite him in. He has given you a free will to accept him, to reject him, to choose him, or to not choose him. So in this holy moment, the scripture says, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't waste this moment. Say, yes, that's me. I want to surrender my life to Christ. I want to invite him in. I'd like us to pray in unison. If you do this, it's between you and the Lord. The rest of us join in. Say this to me. Say, Jesus, today I recognize I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, today I give you my life. Now take it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I will serve you all the days of my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.